Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Iyov Perek Chof Beis, the 22nd chapter of Iyov. This Perek is 30 psukim long and it is Eliphaz's third speech, all encompassed in this Perek. Just to understand our context, at this point in time, we've had the three friends of Iyov each speak twice, which means we've had six speeches against Iyov or confronting Iyov, and to each speech Iyov responded. So in total we've had essentially 12 parts of this dialogue. Three friends first, three friends second cycle, and Iyov responding to each one of them. We now enter the third cycle of the dialogue, and it's interesting to note in this round of the dialogue that Sofer does not appear anymore. Eliphaz and Bildad do continue, but Sofer does not. It seems that Sofer has been moved by the arguments of Iyov, and now he refrains. It's also worth noting that although Bildad and Eliphaz are going to continue with their arguments, their tone is much more conciliatory, as Rav Schwab points out. You will see that they are more understanding and they're less accusatory against Iyov himself. So his arguments have been having an impact on them, although he still faces much to actually dissuade and to argue about. In terms of the content of our perek, it is worthwhile noting that at this point in time, Eliphaz is now retracting from his previous arguments because they don't seem to be penetrating. Iyov does not seem to be taken by them. And he's now focusing on the idea of why tzaddik v'ra'ala v'rasha v'tovle. Why is that there is theodicy, that the evil prosper and that the righteous succeed? And the reason he suggests is because Hashem removes his hashkacha, Hashem removes his immediate divine providence from people's actions in order for people not to be serving out of fear of punishment or for reward, rather for their relationship with Hashem. If Hashem were to stretch in the moment a person did something good or bad, then a person would always be doing it for or to avoid that response. That's the general gist of his argument. Let's take a look at the psukim themselves. There's six main points that he makes in his perek sequentially. The first point is the first four psukim, Aleph to Daled, in which Iyov says, He says, does Hashem really want service from fear? Does Hashem want some people who are corrected and rewarded immediately? Halakel yiskon gover ki yiskon alemu maskil, does Hashem want that one? Hachovitz l'shakai ki titzdak, v'imbetza ki tatim derochecho. Does you want that Hashem is going to immediately exact justice from you and righteousness right away? What the Malbim adds into this understanding is that what Eliphaz is essentially saying is that actually a person who expects immediate results, immediate punishment or reward for their actions, in a certain sense is serving God self-centeredly. Really, they're serving themselves. What they really want is the next delivery from Amazon Prime. They want the next gift that's going to keep them going. They want to avoid the next punishment, which means they aren't really serving Hashem, they're really serving themselves. And that self-centeredness is not the way that our Kodesh Baruch Hu wants such service. Which launches us into the second point of his speech. This runs from Sukkim Hay to Yud. In this section, Iyov says, look, we can have a Rasha who lives a decrepit lifestyle. He describes the kind of a decrepit lifestyle. He takes advantage of brothers. He steals clothes off people's backs. He withholds water and bread from those who are famished and those who are thirsty. He takes advantage of widows and orphans. A person who really lives a completely disgraceful life. And such a person can have one of two outcomes. As in Pasuk Ches, he says, he's going to be the one who everybody turns to, everybody looks to. This terribly bad person has got a lot of success in life. That's one option. Or in Pasuk Yud, it could be, or maybe what's going to happen to you is you'll actually be consumed by traps, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not always respond to those who are evil with an immediate response of retribution. So you can have a terrible person who sometimes will experience retribution and sometimes won't, depending on the specific circumstance. But you can't draw from this a rule that all evil people will be punished immediately. Point three is Psukim Yud Aleph to Yud Gimel. And thus, the result of such action in the world may lead you to the erroneous conclusion. You say, you know what, maybe it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just not involved, which is what Iyov did. Iyov arrived at this conclusion, he said this explicitly. You know that maybe Hashem's domain is the heavens. Hashem's not taking interest in the specifics of the humankind. So that means to say, Aloy Eloka Goiva Shamayim, Rei Roish Koichavim, Ki Ramu, Vamarta Mayedakel. Well, what is that, Yadakel? What does Hashem really know, want to know about this world? So that's the conclusion you're going to draw from seeing this haphazard system of order. another conclusion you can draw. Point four, Yud Dalet to Yud Ches. In this, you may make this mistake and say, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'lo yireh v'chug shamayim yisalech. You know how HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with this world? Again, there's Hashkocha Klali. This is again an argument we saw earlier in Eov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really working with the world. He's got the whole system set up, all interplanetary forces, the right gravitational forces, the intermolecular forces, the cycle of nature. Everything is set up already. Everything is working the way it should and could. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. What do you have the hubris to think? That a human being can alter the chain of nature? Do you think HaOmrim L'Kel Sur Mimeni Ki Mayifal Shakai Loma? You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu has going to now change the course of reality for the actions of one evil person? No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows the world to work. And that means to say that even when you do see a Rasha who's going to be destroyed, let's say you look at the flood, the times of Noach. So in that case, which is referenced in the section, in that case, it's not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going out of his way. It's because natural disasters happen. Good things happen, bad things happen. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interacting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not intervening with the supernatural, with the natural for supernatural for human actions. Which leads us to point five. And that is the opposite. This is all an incorrect assumption. Rather, your test to Pasuk Chof Aleph. Yiru tzadikim v'yismachu v'naki yilag lamoi. The real tzadikim will see all of this and they'll be so happy. They'll realize if I see an evildoer who's not getting rewarded, who's not getting punished, that means to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want service out of fear, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not showing his Ashkocha Pratis all the time, immediately to every person, which means that this gives us the conclusion, as the Malbim suggests, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants the human being to serve Hashem, not out of fear or not for anticipation of reward, but for the relationship with Him. Then the tzaddik is very happy because he knows he knows that there's going to be recompense. He knows that there's going to be payment, but not now, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the relationship. He does not want the quid pro quo. And therefore, the end of the parak is really a sense of advice that Eliphaz gives Eov, and he says in Chof Beis to Lamed, "Kach nami piv Torah v'sim amar rov bilvavcha. Take the Torah, learn, take the lessons that the tzaddikim learn, put them into your heart. Im toshuv ad shakai tzibonev tarchik avlo me'olecha. If you really return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you build in your heart a place which is free of iniquity, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you understand what real treasures are. You will build yourself, you will build and know that you'll get real reward. Eov, don't keep looking around and saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rejected the land. See from the very cases that you pointed out that it must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hiding and veiling his Ashkocha, which means that there is going to really truly be din. There is going to be reward. And look at the reward that is waiting for you. It's interesting to focus on the last pasuk, which is a complex pasuk. Yemalet I Naki v'nimlat b'vor kapecha, which means you'll deliver the guilty, the I Naki, the one who's not righteous. You'll be delivered through the cleanliness of your hands. What does that mean? So Malbim says, Inaki is not referring to another person, it's referring to oneself. What he's saying is remove the Inaki, remove the guilt within you. If you're able to remove that from your heart, then you'll be able to come to him and be saved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Al-Sheikh says, maybe you're better than Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu had to pray for the Anshei Sodom and had to be 10 people in order to help them escape. You know what? You, the Satan has said, is already better than the Malach, than Avram Avinu. Therefore, you have the ability of praying and succeeding even if you're the only person who is at stake. The way that Rav Schwab points out it is that there's a prophetic future prophecy over here, and that is that in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to admonish the three friends of Eov for being too harsh for Eov, not understanding the real mechanics over here. That being the case, what is being said over here is that Yimalet Inaki b'nimlat b'vor kapecha, ultimately the Inaki, which refers to Eliphaz himself, which he doesn't realize he's referring to, will be in the hands of Eov, who is really the b'vor kapecha, the one who is the cleanness of hands, which is Eov. Just a fascinating prophetic anticipation over here. This closes our perek. This is a very new tack. This is a completely different way. And as you can see, there's less accusation in these statements over here, even though this is a new way of looking at the system of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants service not for retribution or reward, but it's not accusing Eov of being bad. It's not saying that Eov is a Rasha, which many of the previous Prakim actually did. Let's see how Eov will respond in Mitzvah Hashem in the next two Prakim, Chof Gimel and Chof Dalet. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.